doing the intro or am I doing the intro?
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Speech Variety Hour, broadcast from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level and at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. We all feel surrealist by warming your snaps through rejuvenative radio waves.
Put
on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty, toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it?
Yep.
Is it working?
It's melting.
Can you feel
it's
it?
Melting. The wells are pulsating and breathing.
No government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bitcot.org.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're trying a new thing on the Fiends today. We're actually going to talk about liberty that we used to a long time ago, and I got sidetracked. And I'm not blaming anybody. This happened before anybody joined the show. After Nima left, it basically happened. I just started to go, hey, who needs show notes? And, you know, sometimes we talk about liberty. But I was listening to some Fiends episodes recently with Nima Vedotti from 6 years ago when we started the show in 2011. Started April Fool's Day, 2011. Actually started March 31st at night, but people woke up the next day on April Fool's to, hey, I've got a podcast. And that was my April Fool's gift to the world that keeps on giving. And I went back to listen to that. Man, those shows were funny, but they were just solid wall-to-wall liberty. Except when we tell strange stories like the one I'm going to tell, and then we're going to do Liberty the whole time. So we got two new Fiends starting soon. One is this guy named Nima Vedotti. Do you know him? Anyway.
Yeah.
This guy named Nima Vedotti is going to start on the show. And actually, he's the guy that started the show with me. He's starting back up on the show. But we have a new Fiend. It's John Vibes. Do you know John Vibes?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. He's a really, 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 really cool guy. He's been a Fiend fan since like episode 8 or something, you know, like 1,000-some episodes ago. So he's going to start. Now, here's the funny story about John Vibes. So John Vibes, you know, we talked a lot on the internet, and then I met him at Porkfest. I started telling this story yesterday, and then we got sidetracked. I said, yeah, he's starting on the show, and I've got this really funny story to tell him. And then I never told it, which is I listen to the show, and I go, ugh, that's bad radio. So I'm telling it. He came up to me at Porkfest 4 or 5 years ago, 4 years ago, after I showed Guns N' Weed, The Road to Freedom there. The movie actually debuted there the year before, or 2 years earlier, but I wasn't there. But then we showed it there, and while I was watching it, I was like, man, I was a minarchist when I made this, and I'm an anarcho-capitalist voluntarist, blah, 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 now. And boy, there's some statism in this. So on the plane ride home, I opened up my laptop. Back when you could have laptops on planes. You can't internationally anymore. Thanks, Trump. But I opened up my laptop and started cutting. Like, I edited the edit mostly on the ride home. And then, like, the day I was home, I napped and then rendered it and put it up. So, you know, the original one was 99 minutes. And the director's cut, Guns N' Weed, The Road to Anarchy, is 77 minutes. And then there's, you know, I took everything I cut, too. And there's a video of just what I cut out on Amazon, and that's funny because it's like, you know, it's 20 minutes of, and we need to get back to the Constitution of, like, you know, different interviewees saying that stuff. So I cut all that out for the director's cut. But so I was watching it. I showed it to, like, I don't know, about 35 people at night. It was really cool. It was an outdoor, like, covered picnic area, and we showed it on a big screen, and it was really cool. It was like a mellow, you know, kind of like friends hanging out and getting to know each other. I did a Q&A after, and John Vibes comes up to me after the QA, and he's like, hey, I was like, you look familiar. And he's like, yeah, I'm John Vibes. I'm, oh, yeah, we've talked on the internet a bunch. And he's like, I love your movie, man, and I love your show, and I really want to give you this book I wrote. I'd be honored if you'd accept this book. And I'm like, cool. And he gave me this book that was like 4 inches thick, like this self-published, really well-put-together paperback book about liberty. And I was walking around with it, and he autographed it to me. No, he didn't autograph it to me. He just handed it to me. I said, I don't need autographs. I don't do that. And because I don't really care. I find signing them weird, and I find having things signed to me. Unless it's like, you know, a friend giving me a book. Art? People can sign art. I don't care if people sign art. I just find you know, the times in my life I've been asked for an autograph, it seems weird, but it wouldn't really been an autograph. It would have been him inscribing a gift to me, which is cool. But yeah. I don't think he even did that. But he gave it to me, and he was touched. I was touched. We touched each other with him giving me his book. And I was walking around Porkfest with it, and I'm like, this thing's heavy, man. And I sat down and started looking at it. It's like really well written, but everything in it I knew. Like, it's a book for someone who's never encountered liberty. And I'm like, you know, I'm really not going to read this. It's an
all-encompassing book.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like a way better all-encompassing book than most all-encompassing. Like, I really want to give a guy free advertising, I guess. Never mind.
Oh, that book? The guy who hangs out in parking lots, you mean?
Yeah, the guy who hangs out in parking lots, yeah.
Yeah, so, basically.
So it sounds like a much better all-encompassing book than that one.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And I was walking around, and I'm like, this is so heavy. I'm not going to walk around with this, and I'm not going to carry it back on the plane. I have too much stuff that I've gotten here and bought here. And so I went over to Davy Barker to see if he wanted to have it for free to sell at his table. And Davy Barker was asleep, and his table was covered up with a big blanket. I reverse shoplifted. I lifted up the edge of his shop. I literally lifted his shop cover and stuck it underneath with the other stuff he was selling and walked away. And didn't take anything. I reverse stole it and didn't mention it to Davy. I talked to Davy like a year later, and he's like, oh, yeah, I wonder where that came from. I sold that for like 10 bucks. And I'm like, cool, keep it. You know, and I told John Vibes this later one day, when I was talking to him about why people should be working more toward electronic publishing more, but, you know, maybe still put out a paperback, but how, you know, like he published a bunch of these and printed a bunch, and they're really heavy and cumbersome, and people like them as gifts when they're heavy, thick books, but often don't read them, and that's how it is. So, you know, I told him this story, and he thought it was hilarious, and that's why he's going to be on the Freedom Fiends, because he thought that was funny instead of being hurt by that. So that's my intro to John Vibes.
This is funny. Reverse shoplifting, yeah. Too. I kind of want to read this book, though.
Hey, you're buffering a little bit. Let's go back to the normal setting here on Fiend Phone. I hate to do it, you know, and I did raise the buffer dumps, but yeah, we're buffering. So, anyway, what were you going to say, sir, now that we're on the lower, less great-sounding, good-sounding version?
Oh, jeez. All right, now that we're on the lower setting. I was saying that the
show's going to get worse now.
Sound quality. Oh, no. Okay,
it's all Fiend Phone. Every Fiend show since Fiend Phone came out has been on the lower setting until about a week ago. We started. Oh yeah, there's this thing.
Yeah, we started last time I was on.
It probably depends whether your neighbors are watching a lot of porn and Netflix.
Probably
with cable, it actually uses you share with your neighbors what's available. Like I noticed on cable. You know, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it gets slower. And then like, you know, 10 o'clock at night on a weeknight to about 1 a.m, it gets slower. But yeah. That's why I have two internet connections. I have DSL also. And DSL is really low bandwidth, but it's always the same. It's a dedicated phone number. And you get the same amount no matter what your neighbors are doing. So
right.
That's what I use to avoid. That's the upside about
it. They need to improve the speed on it is what they need to do.
Well, they can. You can get faster DSL some places, but not in basically small town Wyoming.
you can't really get it too much anywhere, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah. Yeah, mine is like one meg download and a half meg upload. You can get it faster than that in San Francisco or LA or New York or Chicago or Houston. You can get it about two or three times that, which is still way slower than cable.
Wait, what was the speed?
My speed is, they sell it as up to 1.5 megs down and up to 0.75 megs up, but it's not that. It's
that's really low.
It measures out to about a half meg down, no, half meg up and 1 meg down.
That's really low.
Per second. It's really low, but it works for Fiend Phone on any setting. Yeah, because the highest setting on Fiend Phone is 64 kilobits per second. Which is, you know, even in two directions, that's way less than a meg, you know. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what were you going to say?
I was going to say I really want to read this book.
Oh, the John Vibes book? Just Google John Vibes books. I'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah. He's wrote a number of books then?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I like
The conscious resistance, reflections on anarchy and spirituality. JohnVibes.com. How can you go any less complicated than that? Yeah. Very simple. Go to JohnVibes.com, and they have all his book. I think he has PDF versions of them too, but a lot of it's kind of about like esoteric, psychedelic healing, and you know, going into other dimensions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, it's a lot more than that. It's not coming up for some reason.
Yeah, JohnVibes.com doesn't come up with anything.
Well, I'm going to write JohnVibes.com. Right, I'm going to write John Vibes right now. So while you tell me the thing you were going to tell me.
No, I was just trying to go to the site.
yeah, we'll get it out by the end of the show.
I'll figure right out now what the site is. Yeah, but JohnVibes.com seems like we gave out the website. Now it's that's not even the website.
That's not working. I'm writing.
Well, whoever owns JohnVibes.com better hurry up and put something on there because they just got a bunch of free advertising.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I want to read this guy's book, though. Sounds interesting. Sounds like he had a great sense of humor, too.
It sounds like up your alley, too.
Yeah. And,
you know, it's he's dealing with he has cancer right now, and he's dealing with that and keeping really upbeat about life, which is pretty amazing to me. You know, like the fact that he has that instead of crawling in a hole and going, you know, he's doing it. He wants to do a radio show. And I said, you know, you can do as money or as little as you want. You can cancel, you know, you can cancel 1 minute before a show and I won't get mad, unlike other people. You know, you can, anytime you want, you can say during a show, you can say, hey, can I come on for a while? Like, he's going to have rules that other people don't have on the Fiends because of that, you know? So, yeah, I'm writing right now. What's your book site now? All right. So anyway, John Vibes, my buddy, my good friend, is going to come on and be a Fiend. I'm sending him the equipment this week or early next week, and then he'll come on right after that.
All well, it looks like he was one of the organizers of that Free Your Mind conference. I've heard of that conference.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he also used to organize raves until he just like really confronted the truth that the rave community are all communists and just said, I can't do this anymore. They're all socialists who want the government to take away everyone's money and redistribute it, pretty much. So, mostly. So he doesn't do that much anymore. Yeah.
Pretty much.
He's a psychedelic dude, man. You'll dig him. He's kind of up your alley. All right. ConsciousResistance.com. The Conscious Resistance. Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coming back.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out the website was theconsciousresistance.com.
Theconsciousresistance.com. He's going to set up JohnVibes.com. JohnVibes.com is a lot easier to spell and remember, man. He's going to set up and point it to that. Yeah, that's an old website. But I can't even spell conscious, let alone maybe resistance I could spell. But I'll link this. It's theconsciousresistance.com/product-category/books. I'm going to have to link that. JohnVibes.com is a lot easier to say and type probably correctly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he'll just have to set up a redirect to that.
Mm-hmm.
So the PDFs of it look like they're available for free.
Ah, excellent.
I'm checking out all the books. Looks like all the books. Let's see. His
books are Manifesto to the Free Humans, Finding Freedom in an Age of... What? Those aren't his?
Disappointing.
What?
Not all of them.
Not all of them are his, or not all have PDFs?
Not all have PDFs.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to send people to the site instead of reading all these and being wrong about something and saying one is not. Well, there's one by John Vos and Derek Brose. He's a person.
Yeah, right? They're all by him. It looks like it's just John Vibes and Derek Brose wrote one together.
Yeah. Manifesto for the Free Humans. That's the one.
It looks like they've wrote a couple of them together. They wrote a couple of books together, it looks like.
Cool. Yeah. This is a very popular site, theconsciousresistance.com. It has an Alexa ranking of 747K. It's pretty darn good. It's better than Fiends, for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's
like 1.2 million or something last I checked.
It's
still pretty good. But, you know, we don't get a lot of traffic on our sites because we don't have forums or anything. We get people come there once and subscribe through, you know, iTunes or Stitcher or something. And they usually don't come back. Yeah, that's how podcast sites are. But other announcements. We have a digest now. It's at digest.freedomfiends.com. And it's got short digests of each show. Best ofs, like, you know, all the meat, none of the bun. Best ofs made by Riley Blake.
And they're awesome.
They are. And you can listen. I recommend listening on Stitcher, using the option on Stitcher to listen at 1.25 speed, because they don't sound chipmunky. They don't sound chipmunky, but we sound smarter. Like, it sounds like it's a daytime show where we're awake instead of in the middle of the night, you know, at 1.25. It sounds natural, just faster and snappier. Like, we're not quite as, you know, like late night. And we have a Roku channel now, Freedom Fiends Roku channel, which is the streaming feed of everything we've ever done. So you might hear tonight's show followed by the first show we ever did 6 years ago. And that's kind of an interesting mix. And we try to make stuff for the ages. That's what I was talking about with this new old direction for the Freedom Fiends, is having show notes, discussing them, but instead of just like talking about the topics of the day, trying to find the bigger universal issue. So when you hear this 4 years from now, it'll still make sense, even though we're going to talk about things in the paper. We also got for people that don't like cussing, I have a streaming network called cussfreeliberty.org. You can go there. There's an Android app, and there's also a Roku channel for that. The code is no cuss on Roku. And it's Fiends for the Freedom Fiends.
You can just plug that in and leave it playing all day. Cuss free and liberty.
Leave it at night and brainwash your non-liberty spouse.
Right.
Put it on quiet in the background, like while she or he sleeps. Liberty re-education just, camp. Yeah. Put it on so quiet they can't even tell it's on. I don't hear it. What are you talking about? Yeah, I don't hear anything.
Playing.
Yeah. But
slowly they'll learn. They'll learn liberty.
You know, the music that I used for that ad I made recently, I forget what it's ad for, but it's Jeremy and Diana, like, chattering back and forth like a couple. Oh, it's for the digest. Freedom Fiends Digest. Wow. That one.
Yeah.
The music in the background of that is music I found from the 70s that I found on YouTube, called like Music for Supermarkets or something.
Yeah.
And I just got it because it's supermarket music. But the notes in it say that it's got subliminals in it of people saying like, buy more things, buy things, keep shopping, and things like that under it. Yeah. I couldn't hear them, but it's in there. In the 70s,
that whole subliminal messaging was huge.
Yeah. Now they found ways that actually work, like Facebook, to just keep people clicking all day long. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the ads are over on the right, but you see them subliminally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about liberty yet, but we're going to. Yeah. Worms. We'll be back.
Worms.
Talk a lot about how we're going to talk about liberty.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
That's like an ultra refreshing sound.
Yeah.
I am so refreshed.
All right, so I'm going to talk a little about Better Call Saul, which I think it's kind of liberty, because I think the fact that cable TV is less controlled by the FCC than broadcast TV is making kind of a new golden age of television. You know, the last one was the 70s, and then everything was horrible between then and now. And then, you know, last 7 years or so, it's really kind of exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. And Better Call Saul is great. And so you haven't seen the new season.
No.
So I'm not going to do a spoiler, but I'm going to say one thing, is that in last night's episode, you find out where the name Saul Goodman came from. Which is not his real name. You know, his name is Jimmy something. But Jimmy
McGill. You found that out in season one.
What'd you find out?
Remember, there was a whole thing about Saul Goodman being his criminal
name. His scam name.
Season one.
Yeah. Well, this kind of...
Or is this you're talking about how he came up with the name or something?
No, you're right. This is after that.
He seems like he got it from It's All Good, Man.
Yeah, well, I don't think he said that before, but this time he said it means, you know, like, it's all good, man.
Yeah.
But it's pretty hilarious, the place he first uses it, you know, to the public, like, not for a criminal name.
Oh, really? Name. Oh, when he first came up with it, when he first started using it to practice law?
Nope. Before he practiced law with it, he used it for something else.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm going to have to watch season three now.
But there's TV ads with it, so it's totally, you know, he's making TV ads as Saul Goodman, so it's not, you know, in the dark like when he was a criminal.
Hmm. Yeah, I need to get caught up on the show. I usually like to watch... I wait for the season to be over and then binge it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I watch my TV, because I'm crazy like that.
Yeah. Binging's fun, man. Binging's fun. Like, you know, you sit there for, you know, a whole weekend, you watch three or four episodes, I mean seasons or five seasons or something over a weekend, and
yeah.
You know, you find yourself at 5 in the morning, like, you really have to go to the bathroom and you're really thirsty and you realize that and you still can't get up.
You still got a couple more episodes to go.
Yeah. You're not hungry, though, because you've been, you know, eating junk food.
Yeah. Yeah, I like binging on my TV shows, and that's that's a good TV show to binge on. There's some TV shows that you can't really binge on, but that was one you
could. Like ones where they require introspection between episodes, you mean?
Stuff
that
still
exist?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some...
Like
there's
what?
No, I'm talking about like shows that are not very good.
So good shows can be binged.
Good shows can be binged.
Yeah.
Of course, there are some shows that you can just, what did I just watch, you know?
Yeah.
Those ones are the ones, you can't really binge.
The news. You can't binge the news because it's horrible.
You can binge the news. You can.
Ugh. What news? News isn't news anymore.
You can binge CNN. I know. I know. My father, he binges CNN all day. So I know.
Well, you know
it's possible. I know it's possible Roku, to binge it.
On Roku, there's digests of CNN and Fox and, you know, and BBC I really like. Like, when you go to the BBC, and it's free if you have Roku, you go to the BBC channel on Roku, and it says, how much time do you have? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or 30 minutes? And, you know, it gives you the highlights based on how long you have. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that is a cool app. That's the BBC?
Yep, all of them do it, though. Mm. You know, and then there's, like, other aggregator free sites that do it together on different things. But, yeah, they pretty much, a lot of them do it.
Not bad.
But you know what's in the news, James, is the FBI is at war with the President of the United States. I don't know if that's ever happened before. I mean, I think that the CIA is constantly at war with the President of the United States, because that's how, you know, when presidents promise a bunch of stuff and then they get in and they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm doing it different. You know, we have to bomb now. I promised I wouldn't. But that's, I always assume that's the CIA has things on everybody, and probably the NSA, you know, like, nope, you're going to do it our way. But, yeah, he fired the head of the FBI, and they are peed off, man. They are, and they're, so like, all of a sudden, there's this leak that some reporters had that's, like, believable stuff that says that, you know, like, they have evidence, apparently, that Trump gave secrets to Russian diplomats. Like, that came out, like, 2 days after he fired the head of the FBI. You think that's a coincidence?
No. No, but here's the thing that I don't get about that, though, is if...
Hey, you're buffering. Is your dad, is like your neighbors or something, or roommates watching,
be.
Stuff right now? All right, because you're buffering, even at the normal speed. All right, go on.
I have really good internet, so none of that makes any sense.
Really good internet? Or really, what'd you say?
I have really good internet, so...
I'll try to raise your buffer a little bit and fix it.
I have no clue what's going on. But yeah, there's something going on my internet today.
Yeah, weird.
But yeah, now I lost my train of thought.
Don't do that. You're talking about the FBI at war with Trump.
The FBI. That's something that I'm not understanding, because it was always my understanding that investigating the president was like a little bit more different. It wasn't like the FBI could just open up an investigation kind of thing. It was always my understanding that, like, there was like
he was their boss.
No, there was like a whole process to investigate. Like, that's what an impeachment is someone's been accused of something and then they investigate it and all that kind of stuff.
Well, impeachment is done by Congress, and it's an accusation. I think it's the process of investigating. Like, you know, like Nixon was impeached. Like, impeached, people think it means you're kicked out of office. It doesn't mean that.
That's not what I'm saying.
I'm just clarifying that for the audience.
Yeah.
Impeached is the process that can end up with a president being kicked out of office, or a senator, or, you know, I think judges.
Right. Accused. When you're impeached, you're just accused of something.
Oh,
and
I think
that's what I always thought. That was the process that they kind of had to go through. I don't know why. Apparently, that's not. Apparently, they can just investigate. The FBI can just investigate without this whole process. But that was my understanding, is that if they thought there was some kind of wrongdoing, that there was a whole process to do it. That, like, because of this, them being, you know, the president or congressman or whatever, there were certain things like that, you know, you can't be detained by normal law enforcement and stuff.
Well,
like,
president,
like,
can't be arrested for anything except, like, treason and maybe murder. Like, you know, if the president murders someone with his own hands, he might be able to be arrested. But there's very few crimes that the president can be charged with.
Right, and that's what I'm wondering here. What's going on?
And, you know, you can't become a congressman or senator if you have a felony record, but you can remain a congressman if you're convicted of a felony while being a congressman.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, because it's not in the Constitution, you know, and of course Congress isn't gonna pass a law to, you know, why would they do that? Why would Congress pass a law?
Well, it's not in the Constitution that you can't be a felon, though, to be a congressman.
I think it is.
Maybe you can.
I know the president cannot be a felon.
Well, we've had people run for president from in jail.
Yeah, but they don't think they're going to win.
Yeah, but they're still constitutionally eligible. They're on the ballots.
I don't know. This is
that was back.
I don't spend a lot of time reading the ins and outs of voter law. I don't really
Eugene Debs, he was he put everything the Libertarian Party ever got to shame from behind bars back 100 years ago. he got like 5 or 6% from behind bars.
Wow. Under what party? Bull Moose?
No, Socialist Party.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he was in jail for obstructing the recruiting and enlisting of the military troops.
Yeah, that's something I want to talk about later, too, is about, like, whether we think, you know, whether you think that going into the streets and yelling with signs is effective at all. But That's a different part of the show.
Government thinks it's effective because they put you in jail for it.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Especially if you're, you know, in front of a federal, like protesting in front of any federal building, you can get a year or two in federal prison for that. And people do.
Yeah, they obviously think that's very effective. Otherwise, it wouldn't be illegal. Because things that they don't think can change it, you know, those are things that are perfectly legal, like voting.
I think, yeah. Yeah, I think that they don't really think that the few people who protest now is dangerous. They just don't want a lot of people doing it, so they nip it in the bud.
They don't want it catching on.
Right, right.
Because then they know the cost, things get changed.
They want the cost to be too high to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just weird, like, this presidency. You know, my theory, my guess is Trump is going to end up being impeached at some point and thrown out of office, and the VP is probably worse, and he'll become president.
He wants
Christian Sharia.
Yeah, basically. He supports some of the worst possible policies that I can think of. That's that conversion therapy stuff.
Ugh, yeah,
which is like literally torture. Like, just it's the worst possible thing someone can possibly
for trying to convert homosexuals to heterosexuals or non-Christians to Christians. Or actually, it's
probably a little bit both.
It's atheist because there's some Christianity in that conversion therapy.
There's Christianity in that conversion therapy. So it's converting homosexuals to being straight through, you know,
who would Jesus
beat? Through sexual abuse and violence.
Who would Jesus beat?
Literally, you know, just horrible. The most horrendous things you can think of is what he supports.
Wow.
Things that you would never, you know, the conversion therapy is really, it causes a lot of people to just kill themselves. They can't live with what's going on in there.
Federal prison causes a lot of people to kill themselves, too. Also, it's really impossible, almost
this
impossible
is something you're
to
doing
get
to kids.
Oh, I know. People do horrible things to kids all the time and get away with it. I saw a video today of teenagers lining up to be pepper sprayed in the face in it was like a high school course in criminal justice, like basically, you know, how to be a cop. And that's something that cops generally do in their training, is get pepper sprayed and maced, so they know basically so they can withstand it if somebody grabs their tools and uses them on them, I guess. But watching kids let themselves have that done to them was kind of horrific to me. Nima Vidadi has been tased by police with on camera for a news piece when he was a newsman. It's on YouTube. Google it. Nima Vidadi tased.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to The Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
I am drinking
that is a satisfying noise.
A tall, cool beverage.
Yeah.
And I could just hold it up to the microphone and go. Oh, wait, it's no video. Never mind. Yeah, so we're going to talk about the NSA. We're just going to talk about all the government agencies that are just out to just screw you 24/7. That's what they do. And so there's this thing going around called ransomware, which is where... See, what used to happen was what hackers did, you know, the ones that were just after money, not the ones that had a political agenda or a personal vendetta or something. The ones that were just out to make money. What they used to do is steal credit cards or steal login information that could be used to get into people's credit cards. Basically, it was all about credit cards. But the credit card system got really hip to that, and they got really good at, you know, quashing that from their end. Like, as soon as something... Have you ever had them? Do you have any, even debit cards? Do you ever have the bank call you and say, did you actually buy 6,000 pounds of pumpkin seeds in Chicago today? You ever have that happen?
I have heard of that happening, but I've never had it happen to me.
I've had it happen. Yeah, but it was me. It was like, you know, I was on vacation, you know, in Phoenix or something, and, you know, ordered something that was kind of expensive, you know, a few hundred bucks, and they called me. And like, oh, yep, that's me. And a lot of times you can't use your credit card out of state now unless you call, at least with debit cards. You know, you have to call and say, I'm going out of state, and you have to call from your number.
Yeah, so, I've never had any issues with using a credit card out of state. But
so they've gotten really good at quashing that. Well, it's probably if you go out of state more often than I do, because I almost never do. So when they see something from out of state, basically they look for patterns. You know, they have computers and people searching for odd patterns, and they tend to call you if there's an odd pattern. So basically, like, it's really hard for hackers to make a living selling stolen credit card now. So they're doing ransomware, which is where they encrypt your system and then they charge you Bitcoin to get it back. And they used to charge, like, you know...
Well, and it wasn't even just the encrypted in your system. This is the virus that's really going around right now. Is fairly nasty on that, because it does encrypt your system. But there's a number of ransomware that just, like, will be like a screen locker that if you call your tech-savvy friend, you'll be able to get your system back.
Oh, yeah.
Get rid of the virus.
Yeah.
This
WannaCry virus. That's why they're encrypting now, because, you know, you can't get around it by being savvy. There's zero way to do it.
You know, there will be a lot of that. It wouldn't just necessarily be ransomware, but it wouldn't present itself as ransomware. There was one that was going around that would lock your screen and say, oh, this is the FBI, pay us this, or we're investigating you for this because we just, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, there used to be one they'd send. There was an email that they used to send to people that would say, you know, they look like it's from the FBI, and say, you know, we found child pornography on your computer. If you want to challenge this, it probably wasn't you, but if you want to clear your name, you know, enter your credit card number here, and we'll talk to you on the phone and check it out. And it's like, it's not the FBI. But people use the government to scare people because the government's scary, you know? So makes people jump. But so basically the vulnerability in Microsoft commercial systems that allowed this thing to spread a lot has been known by Microsoft for a month or so, and Microsoft issued a patch for it. But people often don't patch that quickly. But even before that, the NSA knew about it? The NSA does this a lot. They detect vulnerabilities.
Well, it takes advantage of a hacking tool.
What's the connection to the NSA?
The WannaCry virus takes advantage of a hacking tool called Eternal Blue that can hijack the machine, basically.
And that, is that one of the hacking tools that belonged to, that was made by the NSA that was stolen by hackers and released to the public? Ah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So what the NSA does a lot that is not good and does not protect you as a citizen or you as a person in their geographic region is they detect vulnerabilities in computers and don't tell people for a while so they can exploit it and they can get into your systems. Mm-hmm. That's not really the government looking out for you like they claim to.
It makes you not secure at all.
Meow. Any closing 10-second words on this, James?
Yes. Yeah. You don't trust the NSA. They're just making your computer unsafe.
That's the government behind the government, man. That's the shadow government.
Shadow government. They're no.
Nothing changes no matter who's president.
But I'd like to see what happens with this digital Geneva convention that Microsoft's been calling for.
Yeah, that'll change everything, man.
Nope.
Well, it's trying to get governments to regulate themselves. It's not going to work.
Please be nice. Play fair, governments.
We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip. Groovy trip.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
See, it's doing it. You hear it? Sounds trippy. You're not hearing that, James?
No.
It's me. All right, you can do the intro.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting to the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple cortex, purple wire in your cortex now.
Slip. It's done.
Slip. Uh-oh.
Yep.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Worms. So, before we get into talking about the state and what's wrong with it and why people should be free and how they can be free, this kind of plays into it because this comes up a lot in arguments. You said, What's the fallacy? Fallacy? Is that your term or is that a term?
That's a fallacy.
Is that your term though? The fallacy? No,
it's no, on that's lists not my of fallacies. Term. It's okay. on lists of fallacies. The fallacy is dismissing an argument because it uses a fallacy in the argument. Such as, so just claiming something's wrong because in your argument you used a fallacy. Things like saying, like, Hitler was not a libertarian. That's a no true Scotsman fallacy. However, it's objectively true that Hitler was not a libertarian. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
So just because an argument involves a fallacy does not necessarily make it true. So dismissing an argument entirely because a fallacy is employed in the argument is the fallacy fallacy.
Well, it's kind of like contracts often say in them, especially in probably in all business contracts, but I know this from music industry contracts and film distribution contracts. They almost always say, if any one part of this contract is found to be unenforceable, it does not make the whole contract unenforceable, which makes sense. That's kind of the contract putting in writing that it prevents the fallacy fallacy.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah. So I think
a lot of people do that.
I think I'm going to start putting that at the bottom of my emails. Just because any part of this email contains a fallacy does not mean the rest of it is not radio gold. I think that should be a disclaimer on the Freedom Fiends, actually.
That should be in the intro.
It should be in the intro. And then please insert the purple cortex wire now. Yeah.
The purple cortex wire. Yeah.
Whatever.
That's close enough.
Yeah. So let's make a note to add that in the next time
make
you're on.
Make a note
on.
To add that, yeah, the fallacy. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people engage in the fallacy fallacy, and it's a little bit funny, especially when they're like, they set up the argument for a fallacy, which is really funny.
Oh, like they're trying to trick you?
Like they're trying to trick you into a fallacy.
Well, give me an example.
Well, a real world example right now, some person was trying to argue with me about constitutional authority and then says when I cited Supreme Court rulings that it's an appeal to authority fallacy.
But this guy is trying to appeal to authority because he's trying to end the drug war by going through the government. Right.
Yeah, he's doing an appeal to authority on the Constitution, even though according to the Supreme Court, the Constitution doesn't say what he wants it to say. But he's saying that's an appeal to authority fallacy to cite the Supreme Court in a constitutional argument.
This comes up every once in a while of having a constitutional convention and how that's we're going to get back to liberty. And I've actually had people in my town like call me up and say, we're getting together. We're having these all over the country. Bring your friends and family. We're going to get down and write our names on paper. And if enough people do this, no, because the shadow government won't let it happen. And even if they did, it wouldn't change anything. I really think the only way to get to liberty, you may feel different. I'd like to know, but I feel the only way to get to liberty is reducing the demand for liberty and increasing the technological loopholes around government. I misspoke. Decreasing the demand for government so-called services. I think that things like
you're talking Bitcoin, about crypto anarchism.
I think Bitcoin and even not to say crypto anarchism, but like Cell 411. You know, this program where you can that's free and people should get it. This program where you can film what's happening as a witness. If your phone is smashed or taken away, you don't lose the footage that was filmed until that happens. And you can also call your friends or loved ones or your own posse to come back you up by pressing a button. It sends out your GPS coordinates and brings them to you. That can replace the police. Really,
things like that, that's crypto anarchism. That's that's the kind of stuff that crypto anarchism has been talking about for a while now, and things that can replace the state. I
ever
really
read the Crypto Anarchist Manifesto from 1992? It's amazing.
There's a couple different
by May, the one
on
by
it.
May.
Yeah. I can't really remember if I've read that one or not.
And this is there's this also is not. The, go ahead.
There's a number of different manifestos that have been put out on crypto anarchism. I'm not quite sure which one
I'm talking about the Crypto Anarchist Manifesto by Timothy C. May, that I think it's from 1992, and it's like it's talking about everything that's happening now before the technology existed. It's talking about Bitcoin. It's talking about decentralized services. You know, it's talking about everyone having encryption, things that the common man or nobody had back then, and it's very prescient. And the thing is, too, like Timothy May is not some dude in his mother's basement. Timothy May was like a senior engineer at Intel. I mean, he helped build the personal computer revolution. And he wrote this manifesto. It's pretty amazing. Check it out. I'll link it. Yeah.
Yeah, link it in the show notes.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff you need to get involved. You know, you need to have good security so you're not falling for a lot of these NSA kind of exploits and stuff.
Yeah.
We were talking about in the last segment.
So what do you think about people arguing on the internet and people protesting in the world? A lot of people I know do both of those things a lot, and I do very little of the former and none of the latter. What do you think are the... why? You know what my feeling is? Why do I want to argue one-on-one with someone on the internet when I have a radio show? If I'm mad about something somebody says, I can just come and say it on here to a few thousand people. Why do I need to like talk with one dude, you know?
Well, with in my opinion, the arguing with people on the internet hones debate skill a little bit.
It also hones fallacy skills.
A lot of people do a lot of fallacies on arguing.
Well, it hones the ability to recognize fallacies, but most people only recognize three fallacies. There's like 40 or 50 recognized fallacies, but most people only know straw man, herring, red herring. What's the other one?
Ad hominem.
Appeal to authority. What?
A lot of people know ad hominem.
Yeah, ad hominem. Which is just
but a lot of people misuse that. A lot of people.
Yeah, it's not just yelling at someone. Yelling at someone is not ad hominem.
People think that insulting people is an ad hominem. That's not true. Ad hominem is not just a fancy word for insult.
Explain what it is.
Well, the big difference between an ad hominem and an insult would be saying you're wrong because you're an idiot. That's not you're wrong, you idiot, is not.
Or your whole argument is no good because, you know, I saw you scream at some girl one time, you know, or something. Yeah. Like, you know, you did something bad in your life, therefore your argument is invalid. That's extraordinarily common fallacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I run into it a lot where people dismiss me because I'm the guy who stripped on the convention.
That's funny. That is funny.
So I run into that one a lot. In the not so libertarian circle of the Libertarian Party.
That's why they should listen to you, not why they shouldn't listen to you.
Well, in the not so libertarian wing of the Libertarian Party, they don't want to listen to me because of that. The libertarian wing of the Libertarian Party.
The people who said, I've been working in this party my whole life, and I've put in hundreds of thousands of dollars and hundreds of tens of thousands of hours. This is not what we're fighting for, people. The guy that actually thinks they're going to get a president elected. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. The people who don't realize that after I did that, the LP got record votes.
And the LP also, like, I don't think they'll ever get anyone elected, but I think the purpose that they have is kind of an educational thing. But
it should be.
I guess there have to be people in it who actually think they'll get someone elected No, they won't, but I mean, they do, and it's bigger than dog catcher. The joke is never anything above dog catcher, but there's some state reps in New Hampshire, but actually they're all in as Republicans or Democrats, because you can't really get elected Libertarian Party got record like 6% of the national vote, I think. And my state was like 11% or something this time, or 9%. It was really high for what it usually is. It used to be 3.
I made us the protest vote.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. You did. Thank
I made
you for
the
your
LP
service.
Vote the protest vote, which is really what it needs to be, is the protest vote.
Yeah. I don't protest vote either, but I can see.
But
the value
if someone's going to vote, they need to be able to have a protest vote.
Yeah,
I think that's a very valuable thing on the ballot is to have a protest vote to say I don't like either of these people. There's a protest. I'm protesting.
My wife's dad used to, and he was like really serious about love of country and small government and the Constitution. But he used to go vote. You know, he was generally a Republican, but he was registered Democrat, so he could go and vote against the better Democrat in the primary. That was his plan. And then he would like write in Mickey Mouse for president every time.
I've rated a Republican primary before. Because Michigan has open primaries.
Oh, yeah. In Wyoming, you can switch at the polls.
Yeah. Yeah. Michigan has open primaries. Yeah. You just go in and ask for a ballot. Both parties are on the same ballot, and you don't even need to ask for one party or the other's ballot. But, you know, so you can go in, and you're only allowed to vote on one side or the other on the primary. But we'll see. Michigan, now the Libertarian Party is going to have primaries, so we'll see what happens with that. I think that's going to ruin the Libertarian Party. But
so what were we talking about? We're talking about the...
We were talking about...
Oh, you got more on that. Go ahead.
Fallacies. But, yeah, but no. Yeah. Fallacies. Well, yeah, people fallacies. Have a lot of fallacies.
Learn
a lot
to
of
recognize
libertarians
them.
Have fallacies. Learn to recognize them. Argue with other libertarians.
Maybe in the next segment, we should come back and go through a list of them and explain them for people to recognize. What do you think of that?
I think that could work.
We did it 5 years ago. I think we should do it once every 5 years, whether we need to or not. I think we'll go
to...
It's
a good thing for people to be able to recognize.
Yeah. It's a good weapon.
I'll pull up a list
of fallacies. I think Wikipedia has a good one.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigi-est place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, Meow Bit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
Poster boy Spencer. For the alt-right.
Yeah, he's the guy who coined the term alt-right as a
I thought Jared, what's his name, coined that term.
No, it was Richard Spencer coined alt-right, kind of as a rebranding for the white nationalist movement. And since then, you know, there has been people who have tried to adopt the label alt-right, but alt-right, from its original, you know, coining by Richard Spencer, was describing the white nationalist movement as a rebranding to. Because white nationalists doesn't give like a, you know, quite the.
The KKK has been rebranding and polishing up their hand for a long time. And well, I'm looking it up right now. Richard Spencer is. Too. Yeah, Richard Spencer is generally attributed with coming up with that term, but it actually, paleoconservative philosopher Paul Gottfried addressed the H.L. Mencken Club with what he called the alternative right. This was republished that year, 2008, under the title The Decline and Rise of the Alternative Right in Takis Magazine, which is
Richard kind of Spencer funny was involved sometimes. In that club as well.
Ah, okay, but Patrick Ford had something to do with it, but it was a collaboration because, you know, These people are socialists. So they need a committee for everything. And, like the KKK, I mean, in the 60s and 70s, they tried to, you know, like they could have a lot of Nazis and, you know, white power guys, like, let their hair grow out a little bit. So instead of looking like freaky skinheads, they looked like, you know, kind of respectable crew cut guys. And some of them put on suits and tried to kind of acclimate, I guess. And That finally got figured out. And then they did something else. And then they did something else. And this is the latest thing. Although they're not really hidden about it at all. I mean, there are a lot of them are pretty proud of it, I think. No, at least on the internet, where they can
not
hide.
Very well coded.
Yeah, but some of them are out about it.
No, yeah. They're pretty open about what they're really all about.
Yeah. So he had a rally in Charlottesville, Virginia to try to prevent the takedown of Confederate statue, Robert E. Lee. These statues are all over the South. There's all kinds of statues of Confederate heroes, you know, people that fought on the South side, which is generally attributed to being that they fought for slavery, but it's a little more complicated than that. But the people, a lot of people would still love it. You know?
But the thing is that, you know, you don't have, you know, whether or not that is actually, you know, we could have a whole show on talking about the causes of the Civil War and all that kind of stuff. That could be an entire show. But
the Simpsons, you know, where Apu is taking his citizenship test, and one of the questions is, what was the cause of the Civil War? And he said, well, there were many sides, from the abolitionists to the, and like started giving this really detailed. Then the guy said, just say slavery. Yeah. The guy giving the test.
Well, that's really what it boils down to, though. It's really, if you read the causes of separation that were published by the various states that seceded from the Union, the cause of this their secession, which is what caused the Civil War, is, you know, the state seceding from, you know, the state seceded from the Union over the fear of a Republican president abolishing slavery. And so that's what caused the states to secede. And now what caused the you know, Union to then invade the Confederacy, that's another, you know, you could go into that. But if you look at what the root cause of why they actually left in the first place, it was over slavery. So you can't just say slavery.
So we'll just say slavery, Apu was told when he tried to get smarter than that. So, and put it this way, most of the people that want to fight, it's hard to say, though, because I would say that most people who want to fight to keep these statues have a bit of racism in them. But then there's weirdos like Tom Woods who, you know, are great libertarians. They're really anti-tribalist in every other sense, but they belong to these like Preserve the South clubs and say they're not racist, and maybe they're not. But I don't know. I don't dig this clinging to the past, man. I don't know why people fight over it.
No, it would be like, should, you know, basically to make it really obvious for the people in the cheap seats, I guess.
Cheap seats.
The USSR collapses, right? Should they keep the Lenin statues around, or should they get rid of them?
You know, I've been to Germany, and it's kind of weird. Like, there's all these statues that they kept, but they, like, hammered or dynamited off the swastika from them.
Right.
So there's a lot of, like, cement statues there that have, like, a rough part where something's missing. It's weird.
Or, yeah, the swastika.
It's whitewashing history, yeah.
Well, Is it really, or is it just for moving a nasty
move
spot?
It ahead. it's kind of too. Yeah, stuff should be in a museum, though. You know?
Yeah.
You shouldn't not be able to own a Nazi thing, like in Germany.
Put it in a museum,
though.
Put it in your
home. But you can't own it. You can't sell it on eBay there.
Yeah,
they're trying to whitewash it in that way. You know?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
AM actually can transmit music in higher fidelity than FM if it were optimized to do so, but it never is, so it doesn't. Because it's got a lot of compression on it, for one thing. So basically the idea is compression makes everything the same volume, so you know the talking is legible or understandable whether you're listening on headphones in a good environment or if you're listening, you know, driving in a car, a loud car with the windows down, the kids in the back seat screaming, you can still hear what's on the radio. That's what the compression's for. Well, but it makes it sound crunchy, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens. Well, we were talking about this rally, this Richard Spencer with his Nazi haircut. We were talking about
torches. He brought he brought a mob with torches. Now,
this is such a cliche.
That's weird.
It's what? It's like a cliche.
Did you say?
Yeah, it is.
Like the Simpsons always have, you know, crowd with. They need some pitchforks really to make it fully work. But
we know what he was trying to do here. The message.
Burning crosses.
You know, he was
burning crosses.
Trying to make a reminiscent, you know, of an old Klan rally kind of thing around this Robert E. Lee statue.
Well, the Klan liked fire because they burned down people's houses.
Yeah, they did.
They'd show up at your house
with, you know, a fire with a, you know, crowd of with pitchforks, burn a cross on your lawn. If you didn't leave, they'd burn down your
house. Right, right. The cross was the warning, and then they'd go from the house after. So that's what the idea of the mob with pitchforks is, you know, we're going to burn down your house. I used to live in Charlottesville, Virginia, so this story is kind of near and dear to me. Although, really, you know, if you have any kind of personal input, like if, say, you're putting together a news piece, you know, you want, if you have someone who has some inside input, you'd want them. But mine is horrible. My input is, yeah, I lived 8 blocks from this. I just checked on the map tonight. I've never seen this statue in my life, but I might have seen it, but I was drunk back then all the time. So, you know, before I cured my alcoholism with heroin addiction, which I don't recommend, but it actually works. So, and then got clean. But I was just, I mean, this was like, you know, I was 18 till 18 to 21 when I lived in Charlottesville. I was on my own for the first time, really. And, you know, doing all the things you can't do when there's parents watching. So I don't really remember a lot of this. And a lot of the time, too, I did not have a car and had a bicycle. So, you know, you don't really cruise around in a bike that much. You kind of go where you have to go. And it's weird, though, like looking at this map. Like I looked at a map today, like, wow, I live 8 or 9 blocks from this. And it's weird how in my life, as I've gotten older, I know more of the town I live in. Does that happen to you? Like when you're a kid, even when you're a teenager, like, you know, your town is your neighborhood and the three places you regularly go.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen to you? Does it change?
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're free to roam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But so Richard Spencer did this thing and it's just weird, man. It's really weird. It's weird to me that people are clinging to keeping these statues. It's weird to me, too, that people want people to take them down off private property, too. I think you should be able to do whatever you want on your private property, no matter how tasteless. You know, the town I live in Wyoming, it's not uncommon. Like 3 or 4 times since I've lived here, I've seen people paint like extreme messages on the side of their house or the side of their barn. Like there was one I think it's still there. It's like where kids walk from the grade school. Like they go by this house and it says like, you know, it's some quote from the Old Testament about how God will destroy you if you're a sodomite. There's a guy who has that painted on his house here. Mm-hmm. And there used to be a guy that had huge on the side of his barn, like some screed about the chief of police and named it by name. Like, I guess in the Mountain West, people still really believe you can do whatever you want on private property and they get away with it. Well,
you can do that actually a lot. I remember there was a farmer a while back that was in Michigan that I remember he had a like an old the trailer from a truck, and he painted the side of that up with some stuff. I can't remember exactly what it said, but put that right out on the because he's, you know, his farm bordered a highway, so he put that right out on the edge of his property.
I saw some of those in Utah when Ron Paul was running last time. There were like several, like, you know, driving through Utah, you'd probably see 10 or 8 of those, like Ron Paul for president, like mm-hmm. on farms, on the side of barns and on tractors and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd see that a lot. But, you know, that's kind of cool. I like seeing people express themselves on their property like that. The question is whether this stuff should be government, you know, government maintained.
Right. You know, speaking of like weird things in the middle of nowhere, one of my favorite stations we're on, there's only two stations that I tried specifically to be on. I used to just go down a list and call everybody and try to get on, but there were two that I specifically got on. One is in my town, Casper, Wyoming, and the other is in Barstow, California. Do you know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
It's halfway between Vegas and L.A., and there is nothing on that drive. There. It's like, it's the switch on the radio drive, and we could be heard 50 miles in each direction. So 100 miles, like, you know, like an hour and a half of that drive or mm-hmm. more, you can hear us on Saturdays there from noon to 2, Saturdays and Sundays. Nice. And I'm really pleased with that because I've driven that, you know, 30 times in my life, and it is... Oh my God, I would have loved to have listened to something like us on the radio out there. There's nothing but country music and gospel talk and us. I like it.
Perfect. Yep. Give a little bit of liberty.
This will probably play on there too, because this is, no, it won't actually. This doesn't go in the best of. Anyway, so Richard Spencer. Oh, Richard Spencer. Yeah.
The funny thing is, you look at what this group was chanting, some of their chants.
Oh.
Where, you know, you will not replace us. Like, what? Yeah. Okay. Blood and soil. And
blood in soil or
blood and
soil?
And
is
then
that a reference
this
to the Civil War?
This is, I believe that's some kind of Nazi thing. I don't know. Allegedly. I need the allegedly app. Yeah. But no, that's then this is what really Russia is our friend. Like, what does that have to do with this Robert E. Lee statue chanting Russia is our friend?
What?
Yeah. What does that have to do?
Which is weird because Russia does not let you put what you want on your private property, even now. They're getting really Russia's getting really like hate speech lawish and outlawing, you know, criminalizing homosexuality, and they're taking steps back, man.
They're going way back because they have the criminalization of speech against the government
and against the church, which is weird because the church was the enemy in communism, but now post communism, where they're kind of returning to communism in some of the tyrannical ways, you can't fart in a church without doing prison time. Ask that band Kitty Riot, let's call them, on the air.
Well, could you say their name? No, you can't, because it's, even though it's
I've heard Free Talk Live say it, but I won't say it because I don't want to get kicked off the station. They're on more stations. They can afford to say it. Yeah.
But they've gone to jail, I think, a couple of times just for
Kitty Riot.
For that band has gone to jail a number of times for their protest music. Just protest music gets
stuff that would get you a trespassing charge in America at worst, you know. Is like basically
they go right to jail.
Basically Russia has the state, the government of Russia has embraced the church now because it's all really old people in Russia. Like, young people really aren't into religion there like they are here nearly as much. And it's old people that miss the glory of the Soviet Union and want to go back to it. And they worship Putin, a lot of the religious mm-hmm. people there. Yeah.
Yep. It's weird how religious they are, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
that, you know, the, like, religious people there look like USSR.
A lot of the religious people in Russia look like bikers in America. Have you noticed
well,
that?
Well, maybe they were all still secretly religious under the USSR. And then they're like, yeah, now we're religious again.
Of course.
You know?
Yep. Yeah.
Because it's kind of weird, that complete 180 on the religious thing.
So, you got anything more on Richard Spencer?
Well, I was just thinking, now it's funny how they're changing, you know, what does Russia have to do with this?
Yeah, I don't get it. Well, they probably like Putin because he's, you know, tells people what to do and kills people they don't like. Throws them in gulags. Yeah.
Yeah, they want to gulag people they don't like, I guess.
Did you read the thing about the Richard Spencer? The Richard Spencer said that this was his way of connecting with the dead. Like, this was which sounds like Hitler. Like, Hitler was into this weird kind of mysticism. Mm-hmm. He had this whole, like, religion. It was kind of part Catholicism, part Nordic, and part, you know, his scientists finding the results they wanted.
Yeah, weird. Yeah, he did have a lot of, he did do a lot of, like, you know, weird
ceremonies.
Almost, you know, ceremony kind of stuff, religious, like, you know, he made the whole National Socialist Party like almost like a religion, really.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was, the state was the religion, and there were religious mm-hmm. aspects of it, even more than the religion of the state in America or any other powerful country, where, you know, people will kill you or threaten to kill you if you, you know, say something bad about a fireman or a policeman. I mean, that mm-hmm. is the state being a religion. That is people, you know, wanting to die for this, which is really weird, because a lot of the people that feel that way are gun owners, and they're glorifying the people that are going to take away their guns, you know?
Yeah, people seem eventually to forget who's going to be the ones to take away the guns.
Police and the military. And, yeah, you know, they may, there's some towns in the Mountain West where the local sheriff, people think he's a good guy, and he likes, you know, and he tries to follow the Constitution.
No, he's
and
he take says, away the guns.
no, he's not going to take away the guns. If he won't take away the guns, they'll send someone who will, is what I'm saying. And they'll probably take away his guns, too. You know, there are sheriffs who...
There, you know, you might see some limited skirmishes between your local sheriff and... but you know who's going to take away the guns? The undersheriff.
Because he wants to be the sheriff after the melee.
That's all that's going to happen.
There's going to be no American Revolution 3. I really believe that. I think, you know, for all these rifle polishers, and I like guns, but, you know, for these rifle polishers who have the pocket constitution and think they're going to die in a blaze of glory on their own Ruby Ridge or their own, you know, on their lawn. First of all, think about the fact
that weird dream to have.
You have children or grandchildren, or there's kids in your neighborhood who might get killed in that. Second of all, civil war is not glamorous, man. Look at videos from Syria right now.
You don't want any, that.
You know, no, you don't want that. You don't want neighbor on neighbor murdering each other and inability to get food. And you're like, well, I can just hunt. Nope. Everyone will be hunting. There'll be nothing left to hunt. You'll be eating dogs and cats and people. Ugh, that took a dark turn. Crypto anarchy for the win.
Yeah, crypto anarchy is the way.
Man.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms. So, Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends.
Sweden has gone cashless for the most part or entirely?
Seems like for the most part they've gone cashless. They don't have...
America has too, for the most part.
Very much cash left. They have the lowest amount of coins and notes in circulation since 1990. So it really isn't like... They had a bunch in circulation and it's going back down. The trend was up for a while.
So it's all replaced with credit and debit cards.
But you know that's what's going. You know, it's just since 1990. It's not like it. But yeah, they have they dropped an average of 56 billion kroner.
Well, that's huge. If it's down to the levels of the amount of available actual physical cash, government cash, since 1990, because inflation is so high since 1990, any country that's not, you know, in eating dirt is going to have a lot more money being spent every day, whether it's cashless or not. So that is that's a big reduction because, you know, $1,000 in 1990 is like, I don't know, $1,500 now, something, $12.
But yeah,
it's
they
definitely
have
a lot different.
What they're going for is they're trying to go for more cost effective, user friendly alternatives to cash, is what they're saying.
They want to spy on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they want to know where your money's going.
But yeah, the Swedes have been, you know, a lot of early adopters on a lot of technology kind of stuff. The ways
I don't know, they're still like one of three countries that still has a king. That's weird.
That's true, but when it comes to technology stuff, they are some of the first ones to really go over to that way. And really, a cashless society, I mean, what we really need to do is have a Bitcoin society. Cashless really isn't the problem, not having physical
cash. We need to have a bunch of different kinds of coins, not just Bitcoin. Bitcoin has a lot of problems, too, and there's coins that solve those problems.
There is. That's true. But, you know, we really don't, you know, cash is not really king. Your cash is not as untraceable as people think it is. It's not as anonymous as people. It's still a government-issued currency. So, really, I don't really have too much problem with cashless society. The problem is what, you know, replaces it. But they're having, you know, a lot of... They're, you know, moving towards this cashless society. But the problem is, you know, it's all government currency is what they're trying to move.
That's the thing, and most people don't know the difference. They really don't. That's the most important part. You know, it really doesn't matter whether it's a physical thing or, I mean, there's people that like worship gold and think that those are old people at this point, you know, and those people missed out too, because the people who hoarded gold, if they'd taken a tenth of their gold and bought Bitcoin with it, when Bitcoin came out and they were saying, Bitcoin's a Ponzi scheme, they'd be like buying islands right now.
Don't remind me.
I kind of cringe.
I was there.
I first bought it at $30, and I only bought like five or six of them, and then lost three of them, and people donated more, and I cringed.
Yeah, I really messed up with my buying Bitcoin. I remember I could have bought it at 2 cents a piece.
Well, think about this too. Think about the fact that there are a bunch of libertarians who are suddenly millionaires now. That's cool.
Yeah. There's a bunch of libertarians that are suddenly millionaires.
The nerdiest ones, too.
But I held off on it until it was about 10. And then when it was 10, I finally bought a couple. I bought a couple. No, my thing is I buried a couple.
Lost it, you mean?
I lost it, yeah.
Me too.
So,
all right. So real quick, we got about a minute and a half. Let's
What's the redemption here about money?
Okay, go ahead.
The funniest thing here is now in Sweden, the churches have now developed an app to collect donations.
That sounds like something out of Simpsons. That's a joke, man, doesn't it?
It almost
take
does.
Out your phones and pull up, open the sacred app.
So, the collection plate is now an app.
Wow. Yeah. That's weird, man.
That's what's cracking me up about this article. So it says in the article that now people are raising their phones up in the air in church to show
them. Ew. Like a concert.
Yeah. Ew. Like a concert.
Bread and circus, man. Don't worry so much about the bread and circus and... learn more about what money is. Here's some homework if anyone wants it. Google the difference between money, currency, and methods of transmitting money and currency. Some are all three, some are two, some are one. There's advantage and disadvantage. Nope. And look up the four things that all money has to have to be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Worms. Worms. Good show, James. I had a good time.
Me too.
Worms.
Worms.